Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from Riverdeck Pier 17, Seaport District of Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Max, Key loves all the faces of all the Green Bay Packer fans.
No, just in general.
Just in general.
When people lose, I love the faces. It's priceless.
When they zoom in to like the little kids who are the fans.
No, not necessarily even. I'm talking about like the players and the coaches. I just love the face because I remember losing the AFC Championship game, and I just cried like a little baby. I just cried like a grown man crying that was making money and living his life. And I love watching because it's priceless. Where they just sit there, they just got this blank stare on his face. I love that misery.
I hate it, especially for teams like the Bills, man.
Because it's the worst.
Man.
Because you
That's
know,
what Matt Stafford meant when he said take souls.
No, yeah, because
it does take souls.
Think about
exactly
it, though,
right.
Max. I feel good. Oh, we up 10-0. We getting ready to roll over Denver and we getting ready to steamroll Atlanta. I'm already thinking ahead. We beat Atlanta in the regular season. Oh, we going to see them in the Super Bowl. We up. And then all of a sudden, John Elway and company just get a hold of us, and it's a wrap. And then when I look at, like, Aaron Rodgers walking off the field, ain't nothing you can
say. See, I'm not even thinking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm thinking about more like Josh Allen and the coaching staff for the Bills.
It's yes.
Like, You punch the Pats in the face that second game. You blitz them. You come back. You dominate them in the playoff game. Like, that's an emotional toll that takes on any team. Now you're going against your big brother, a team that you already beat that year. Like,
you're 13 seconds
away.
And they thought
away,
the game was right over.
Yeah, and you it's think done. It's over. Oh. And I always tell people, man, you know how hard. You know, everybody's like, the Super Bowl is going to win 20 of them. You're just giving them away like M&Ms. You know how hard it is to win a damn game? Let alone a playoff game.
I mean,
it is so hard.
If there's 1 second on the clock, I'm thinking, 1 second on the clock, that's enough. If you have enough time to give someone the ball in the NFL, some crazy stuff can happen.
Man, NFL or college.
Yeah.
Okay, anything can happen. It's just wild stuff.
So the Bucs lost to the Rams after Brady led a miraculous comeback from down 27-3 to tie the game. And, guys, I really felt a lot of that. I know, well, it's not Brady that made the Rams make all those mistakes, but to me, it feels like it is.
But it is.
It's the pressure
it is.
He
You're
puts
right.
on.
You're 100% right. Mm-hmm.
It feels that way,
oh, yeah.
right?
That's why guys like Brady create problems for other teams just by having that guy on the sideline.
There were guys who, like Kobe, I think Jeter. For some reason, I grouped those three, even though Jeter wasn't as talented. But whatever it was, oh, that guy got lucky. Why does his team always seem to get lucky? Because everyone's aware, including the guys on the other team, they got that dude. All right. Before the game, ESPN's Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington reported Tom Brady is contemplating his future and will take time before committing to play next season. Here's one sentence that stood out from the report by Schefter and Darling. Ready for this, guys? Quote, but Brady, who has 1 year remaining on his current contract, the thoughts of retirement have become more of a reality than ever before. Now, in light of that, listen to Tom Brady after the loss to the Rams.
I know a lot of people wondering how you will contemplate whether you'll come back or not.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
Key, like there have been some guys who've walked away. Like I think Sandy Koufax is the poster child for this because he was the best pitcher in the game, on top of the world. He was 30 years old. He walks away. But his left arm was about to fall off.
Yeah.
He had arthritis. Barry Sanders was not on a great team at that time. 30-year-old running back
is
different.
But he didn't tell you anything. He just did it.
He just did it, right? So here and there you can find examples. But a guy playing at this level still, why would he walk away?
Well, look, if for him, there's a lot, right? You've won 7. You played in 10. You've accomplished every hardware that you can think of and imaginable in terms of professional sports. There's also something to be said for family and time with your family. He has kids. They are getting older. I'm sure his son wants to play football or want to play quarterback or something along those lines and duplicate that success or try to duplicate the success that his dad had. You know, living that dream, you want to be there for that. And it's the grind. It's also understanding that San Francisco is not getting any worse. They're going to get better. Arizona's going to figure it out. The Rams, we just saw, they just took care of me and knocked me out. For all the jokes and everything and the comedy that the Cowboys give us, We don't know about that. Philly's going to get better. We don't know what's going on in New Orleans with Sean Payton. The Giants will figure it out at some point in time. Then you can shift to the AFC and start to think about those teams that you may have to see if you make it back to a Super Bowl. The chances of winning another Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under Tom Brady is probably not going to happen based on bringing guys back, salary cap, all that sort of stuff. It's harder to do, so why put yourself through it?
Man, hold on, Max.
This is why, as much as we try to understand Tom Brady, it's hard for people to understand guys like Tom Brady or Michael Jordan who want to keep going and keep pursuing excellence. Let me tell you what TB12 Sports tweeted after the game. You win or you learn. There are no failures, only lessons. When you fall, you need to pick yourself up with greater enthusiasm than you went down. Now we look back on an incredible season, learn our lessons, and get up, because even greater things are to come. Keep going. Hashtag keep going. Like, as much as we sit here and we talk about all the accolades, this dude leading the league in passing attempts and touchdowns, him winning a Super Bowl 2 years ago, there's something different about him. And I know we could talk about kids, and you get to a certain point where you're like, what else am I doing? But like, this is who Tom Brady is. He loves that people don't think he can continue to be great at a high level. It feeds into
It's not that people don't think he can be great at a high level, Jay. He can still play at this level for the next 3 to 4 years, in my opinion, just based on watching him this year alone. It's about talking to, or not, put it this way. It's about reporting like Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington. It's about those type of guys that are reporting this, that are so well connected to that particular camp, that makes you believe that we may have seen the last of Tom Brady. On top of that, when you think about it, Jay, Byron Leftwich probably is getting a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, he most likely, if I had to bet, he's probably getting a job. So now if you're Tom Brady, I got Max Kellerman calling the plays now, not Byron Leftwich. And I don't know about Todd Bowles. He may get a job. So now on top of players being gone, now you got your staff that's dismantled. Do you want to, at 45 years old, take on a new coordinator who – Him and you don't see eye to eye.
Maybe get bounced in the divisional round again.
Or could this just be Tom kind of leaking it out there for leverage purposes for him to get maybe what he wants?
See what Jay just said feels right. That feels right to me.
That feels more like in the direction that I start to lean. Like, all right, well, what does Tom actually want? And is
he
using?
What could he possibly want?
Saying a little more say that he doesn't have in the organization, maybe.
I don't know.
To do what?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like a certain coach or coordinator.
Though they probably would do what it would take to get him to come back, they would do what it would take to get him to come back and play. I don't necessarily know that they would give him control of the organization.
When you were going through your list of the NFC, the teams that are going to get better, actually, Key, what it sounded to me, what it made me think was like, if he was in the AFC, I would get it because of so many great young rising quarterbacks. But in the NFC, the landscape's a little different.
Can I say something? Maybe Tom Brady doesn't want to lose Byron Leftwich. Maybe he doesn't want to lose Byron Leftwich.
See, that's what
makes
sense.
Maybe it's a situation where it's like, hey, look, maybe like I'll think about retiring. Let's see how this organization reacts to it. Hey, by the way, moving forward, BA, thank you for this championship. But Byron Leftwich, you may be the guy that I need.
Keith, what he just said makes sense.
It sounds like
the type of
thing.
Because
my man's been talking about playing until he's 50. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking about retiring after I just had the season I just had. I can't see that.
If they would put Byron Leftwich in a position to be the heir apparent to Bruce Arians, Maybe Bruce doesn't want to coach anymore. I don't know, but it's hard to see me envision Tom Brady at the age. We're not talking about 28-year-old Tom Brady. We're talking about 44-year-old Tom Brady for a owner to put in place an offensive coordinator that the head coach hired and brought with him that's been with him since Arizona. And for the offensive coordinator to do that to the head coach that put him in position to be successful. So when you start looking at all that, it's just hard for me to see.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. But, Jay, I'm with you.
Well, good point, though.
Because otherwise, why leak a little idea like that to the press? Why put that little germ out there if you don't want something? Right? Like, why? I don't know. Why one person is going to be unbearable the rest of the day? And it starts next. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
With 4 seconds on the clock, we'll attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left half. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game next Sunday at SoFi Stadium.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst, is with us now. You can tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Dan Orlovsky giving the straight talk, of course, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
Got a lot to
Dan,
say today, huh?
You day, tweeted yesterday.
It's a good day for you today.
I see you grinning.
It's 13 years in the making, Max.
You tweeted yesterday, quote, "I'm going to be unbearable on TV tomorrow." Now, we ask a question,
don't
Dan,
do it, Max.
At Passover. How is today unlike unlike any other day? That's what I want to know. Can you answer the Passover question?
I probably have ammo for today. I had that in my mentions a lot last night. So, yeah. Just like any other day? Cowboys fans.
All right. What is it that – why are you going to be unbearable today?
Well, obviously because there's been so much doubt about Matthew Stafford. I mean, this is the one of the ideal I told you so moments since I have been on television. Because for years – this is to all the Lions fans. Now, most of them are great. All of them that would come up to me in town or at the mall and say, "Your boy Stafford stinks. He can't win." And I go, "Dude, he's great." And you can't win. All the people on social media that would always send stupid, corny memes and go, "Find you someone like that supports Matthew Stafford like Dan Orlovsky does. You wouldn't say that if he wasn't your friend." And I'd sit there and go, and there's been this small group of people that would be trying to tell the NFL world like how great Matthew Stafford is. And everyone would go, "He's such a stat patter. He can't win big games." How you feeling now, crowd? And that's my thing is like, you sat there and a couple weeks ago, I said I would put my life savings that if Matthew Stafford got the ball late in the game, there is not a single person in the NFL that I want to have the football.
This almost makes up for your Wentz take. This is unbelievable. You're all the way back.
Focus on the positive. Let this man shine for once.
I was actually right about Wentz.
Here's what I said to you, Dan, when we were on NFL Live last Thursday, I think, or maybe it was Wednesday, Thursday. And I said, Matthew Stafford will have a good game if he did what? Not turn the football over.
Right.
You walk away clean when you don't turn the ball over. And that's what he did. He walked away clean because he did not turn the football over.
Yeah, and I just think that final throw is just – I think it's legacy-defining, career-changing.
I mean, Dan, here's the thing to me that just jumped out. Tom Brady, we've been talking about it all morning. It's not just luck. Why does it always seem to go wrong for the other team, right? They fumble. They can't hold on to the ball. Because his team and the other team both look at Brady and go, "They got that dude." It puts enormous pressure on everyone on the other team.
Sure.
For Brady to lead them all the way back and tie the game, obviously, the Bucs are going to win. Stafford never won a playoff game. Win a Super Bowl now or forever, you know, you're terrible. For him to take that ball and make those throws, especially the last one, was legacy defining.
I remember when he did the sit-down interview, and I forget who it was with, when the trade kind of went down, and he said, all I want is for the chance to play for in big games in January with the ball in my hands and the game on the line. That's what he said. And that's the guy that I know. And that's what I tried to tell people for a while now is there's the guy is better than the talent. And I wanted people to try to get to just understand that the dude is wired in a certain way that he doesn't think there's anybody on the planet that in that moment is better than him. And I think the numbers speak for themselves. I think he's got the most game-winning drives in the NFL since he came into league 13 years ago.
Fourth quarter comebacks.
We talk
about Hold on real quick, Jay. I don't want to cut you off. Okay. That throw to Coop, and Keyshawn knows this. You throw that ball once a season. Cooper Kupp's job is literally to just clear out the defense for the in route coming in from behind him. You throw it in two different occasions. You're getting two man, two high safeties, and he just whoops the dude or cover zero. And that's you throw it once a season. And the fact that he threw in that moment and never hesitated and then made a perfect throw.
Perfect.
I think it's the perfect example of who he is.
And they were bearing down on him, too.
We talk about how Matthew Stafford handles pressure. How about lack thereof? Because they were in a zero blitz, but yet Levante David never came. Like, what about that? Like, the fact that he had so much time in the pocket to throw that ball.
I think two of the things as a quarterback you get taught when you're handling any kind of pressure, but specifically pressure, is if they're late, you kill them. Mm. Like, and the you always hear defensive coaches say, when it comes to blitzing, you'd rather be early than late. So you'd rather say, here we come. Like, you better get the ball out in 1 second rather than trying to almost disguise it too much, or maybe there's a lack of communication. And then the quarterback, the second aspect is always count the steps. You know, like, if I've got six guys in protection and you're bringing seven guys, well, where's the seventh guy and how many steps is it going to take for him to get to me? If it's going to take him 10 steps and my guy's running a 10-step route, well, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So always count the steps. And I think that's one of those examples where you see, you know, he realized. And you guys remember three jet chip wasp by Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl three years ago?
They don't know what that means.
Yeah. You remember that play, right?
The Tyreek Hill pass that won the game.
Never knew it was called that.
That
was a 13-step drop.
11 steps. He went 13 yards. He went 11 steps.
That's fine. 13
Stafford went 12. You know, it's those.
What was it called again?
Three jet chip wasp.
Three jet chip wasp.
Mahomes called his own play.
Correct, but like Matthew did a very similar thing. Like, he dropped back because I know, again, if I'm going back, I'm counting your steps. I can create the space for myself to make that.
He threw against better coverage too, I think.
So enough of the Stafford love fest right now, Dan. Let's give the rest.
It's all friggin' day.
Let's give the rest of the team some love. What are their chances now, though, to win it all? Now that they're in this position at home against the Niners,
yeah.
What are the chances?
Well, I think they're – I would be shocked if they don't win it right now. If they don't – excuse me, I'm taking – shocked if they don't go to Super Bowl, yes. Obviously, San Francisco's beaten them six times in a row, and Kyle's got Sean's kind of number right now. I think this is a little bit of a different team because of Cam Akers. You know, I know Cam had those two fumbles, but the violence and the vision that he runs with – our big deal. I think OBJ, and like, if you go, I'll be honest with you, this from the second play of the game, I knew Matthew was going to play well.
Yeah.
The first play of the game, he throws on time on left to OBJ. And that is something that we're starting to see more and more. Like that one in the red zone key, when he puts it on his face mask, when he's in OBJ seeing the same thing. But then the second play of the game, he gets to number three or number four in the progression. I'm like, yep, he's going to play well today. They're going to – what's Whitworth's health? That's a huge part of it. I thought San Francisco was incredible this past weekend, again, defensively. DeMeco Ryans, their defensive coordinator, should be – you know, he has vaulted to – he should have vaulted to some head coaching lists and interview-wise. But I just believe in the quarterback and the coach that much.
We like these quarterbacks, right? I've played – I don't know what the hell number was. 18 different quarterbacks in my career.
And most of them are bad. You gave us the list the other day.
Not very good, right? I had maybe two that were solid.
You said I'd be top five for you.
Oh my God.
You said it, Keith. No, you were four.
Okay, yeah, that's five.
Because Laura was three.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Laura was three, and you were like four. But why people don't like Jimmy G, man? What's the why? I love Jimmy G.
Yeah, I think Jimmy G's good. I think two reasons why people don't think more highly of Jimmy G, and I'm in that camp. We've seen what Kyle Shanahan's offense does, you know, and we hold that against him and all quarterbacks. And I think that's probably, I see both sides of it, fair and unfair. It's fair because I know what that offense, we've seen this offense.
Then why can't any of the backups ever run it and win?
Well, because they're backups.
But if Jimmy G was only kind of replacement level or a little better,
I don't think Jimmy G replacement. I think he's a good player.
I love Jimmy G.
But then he also has that red zone interception. You were like, God bless America.
Yeah. Oh God,
you know. Or
he saw it different, and he couldn't get his shoulders around for the velocity.
But then, like last week, I saw a stat yesterday. I think the statistic was. Jimmy G in the playoffs is something like 5-0 or 9-0.
He's crazy.
When he doesn't throw a touchdown pass.
But he's only lost. I think he's only lost once in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the Super Bowl.
I think that's the Super Bowl.
But he is something like 5-0. It's more than likely 5-0, right? 5-0 in the playoffs when he doesn't throw a touchdown pass. I mean, that's.
I mean, the reason they went out and got
though, right? He's not playing. With A-list receivers. He's got Deebo Samuel, which
he's got positionless cats. Yeah, sure.
So it's I just wanted, if he had what some of the top quarterbacks have
of course,
had,
yeah.
What will he be?
Yeah, I still think he would just be a good player that, I will say this, in moments late in games, he has proven I can. You know, outside of the Super Bowl moment and the missed Emmanuel Sanders.
The throw.
By the way, you want to know why people ask about Jimmy G? It comes down to that. If he hits Sanders, it's totally different. It's
we're
one
having
throw.
A different conversation about Patrick Mahomes, and we're having a different conversation about Jimmy G.
Yep. Right.
Hey, speaking one of, throw. Speaking about quarterbacks in that game, what are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers in the post-game presser and his tonality or lack thereof?
I thought it was the worst game I've seen Aaron play this year, certainly since week one in the New Orleans game. I think the thing that separated Aaron from everybody this year and made him the MVP amongst many other things was he paid such reverence to the simple plays and gave them the respect that they were like, 3rd and 11 and I got to make the perfect throw. And there's like 6 or 7 clips in this game where there's that easy throw, it's an 8-yard, you know, tight end releases, and he's there, and Aaron, there's moments when he looks at him. There's moments when he goes to make the throw, and he doesn't throw it. And I'm watching the tape going, why doesn't he throw that one? I've watched you all year throw that throw. And it felt like in the game, I got to take over, or it's me and Devontae and nobody else, it felt like in some moments, and that's why I think he misses some stuff. You know, he throws that deep post to Devontae late in the game where it's double coverage on the other side. Lazard is running a deep in route. I've seen Aaron make that throw 5,000 times, and if he throws it to Lazard, he probably bangs his head on the goalpost. And it was shocking that I watch the game, and I step away, and I think, you got to be like, I thought Jimmy G outplayed him. I really did.
I did, too. I thought Jimmy G was the better quarterback, which was shocking.
And that's shocking to say.
Because it's Rodgers. But there were some incredible quarterback performances this
past
weekend. Joe Burrow, I know it's all a bunch of field goals. He got sacked 9 times and kept picking himself up.
You know what
Joe
Burrow's performance reminded me of? And you'll remember this one.
Eli against the Niners. San Francisco. I brought it up earlier today.
100%.
With the turf coming out of his helmet. Yep. Turned sideways.
And you know what the most incredible thing is? He did the impossible. Like every quarterback, we have seen people on television, rightfully so, say every quarterback is a different and lesser quarterback when you get after him. Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. Yeah, and it's the accurate thing to say.
But
didn't affect Joe.
No question. No question. By the way, and I keep bringing up
Herbert. And that's impossible.
Herbert's the same way. He and Joe Burrow, like under pressure, are better than the veterans. It's insane. Allen and Mahomes yesterday. Dan, we got to get
football.
Your thoughts on that before you get out of here.
The fact that one of those guys, Josh Allen, has to lose makes me angry. I think it's the best quarterback game I've ever seen in my life. Just flawless. And I think the reality is when you watch that game and you the NFL is king, thank you to those two young players. If you're in the AFC and you can't answer the question, do we have a guy that can go face-to-face with them, you ain't got a shot. That's my takeaway, because those two kids are flawless. They're just special players.
Well, except in the AFC, Lamar And
but like the funny thing is, you're Herbert, sitting at Lamar going, "You stink." You know, not I'm not literally, but you're sitting. Lamar has been almost forgotten.
Yeah, and
because
by the way,
of Herbert what we've seen from
and,
those
and Herbert and what you just said about Burrow, like the AFC is
right,
insane.
Right, you're sitting there going, Lamar, who's unbelievable. You're fifth, yeah. Maybe.
I don't know if he. Fifth. I mean, you are talking about a guy that won the MVP.
Exactly. I would say Josh Allen has point, taken Jay. His spot like he's been as injured the second guy. Behind
are you Mahomes. Taking Lamar over Patrick?
No.
Josh Allen?
No.
Justin Herbert? Right? But that's the point.
It just depends, on what you like.
But you know what I'm saying, though?
Once like, you get past, like
you're having that conversation. I'm with
Lamar,
you.
Lamar is unbelievable.
Once you get past Josh Allen. Everything else, I like Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be great. He certainly showed all the moxie and all the different quarterback language we use.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
You know, like Lamar Jackson, who's unbelievable, MVP.
I know we got to get out of here in a second.
He's top five.
I know we got to get out of here in a second, but I wonder what's going to happen when Brian Daboll leaves. Mm. I wonder what that's going to
look like. That is going to be interesting.
I don't know. What, do you?
Yeah, because Josh Allen's development was not – preordained.
You know, you got to get that OC
step
thing
by
right.
Step
when you know how that goes
step.
When you with quarterbacks go through different OCs in their careers.
But if you're Brian Daboll, do you leave for Daniel Jones or do you?
Absolutely.
Hoo-wee.
It's a head coaching
job. I know, Key, but
if he can make Daniel Jones.
Watching 17 yesterday.
That boy different,
but you're not
going to
hang
different.
Your career on 17.
Oh, let's put it this way. If the Bills and Josh Allen were playing any other team in the NFL yesterday, they win that game.
Oh, for sure.
Any other team, they win that game.
It was funny because, you know, when they went up 13 seconds left, he throws a touchdown pass. I got a buddy of mine, Dave Phelps, texts me. He goes, "What did I just witness?" And I wrote back the takeover. And then it was almost like in 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes said, "Hold up.
Just not yet, young fella.
Yeah, I
not yet,
too,
young fella.
I thought it was over.
Yeah. No, I never give up on Mahomes. He's the magic
freaking
man.
Unbelievable, man.
Much more on this performance, and Key will tell you why the OT rules are perfect.
Josh Allen, mad love and respect for what you did. But Josh Allen, I am not betting against him.
Got the AFC Championship game back here next week.
We're fired up and ready to go, baby. We're back at Arrowhead yet again, baby. Holler at me. The legend grows.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Capital One. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Just heard Marcus Spears there. Legend grows with Patrick Mahomes. Guys, I said it last week. Rising up to the challenge of your rivals. It's like Eye of the Tiger. Like, here comes Josh Allen, Clubber Lang. He's destroying everyone. And he's playing like a perfect game. Can Mahomes be better than that even? Can he raise to it? Because, like, what you've done so far ain't good enough to beat this right now. You got to be better. He was even better. So what did Andy Reid tell the champ, Patrick Mahomes, when things looked grim?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it. So he did that. He went, he made everybody around him better, which he is great at. And you know, he just does it effortlessly.
Yeah, he's so calm. Key, he's like, in those clutch moments, it's like the defender's right on him and he's just like playing pitch and catch.
All great quarterbacks are calm, though.
But he doesn't.
Joe Montana was as calm as they come.
He looks like Joe Montana, right?
When you are great, Tom Brady, you know, Peyton Manning when he was healthy, there's no panic. People don't panic because you know what the game is about.
I never felt that way about Peyton in the playoffs, like Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
Absolutely. Dude don't win championships and be great in Hall of Fame credentials if you're not calm.
Well, okay, he was a great quarterback. There's no two ways about it. But, Key, what I mean is, Brady, you mentioned Brady, Montana, Mahomes seem to me to be, when the chips are on the line, they're able to access something where they get to another level.
But what I was saying, Max, is all great quarterbacks, you got to hear me out now, all the great ones have that it factor of a sense of calm. There's no panic. Panic quarterbacks, we saw the Arizona Cardinals. That's a panic.
Right.
That's the panic.
Yeah.
What we witnessed last night between Josh Allen, there was no panic, and between Patrick Mahomes, there was no panic. I looked at it with 13 seconds left on the clock. I'm like, damn, they lost.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. I understand. 13 seconds, three timeouts. I still would say if you put them in the right defense, ain't no way in the world you're going to get there with 13 seconds.
Oh, you need
man.
A little help squib, in that situation.
Or you squib the ball on the ground. You don't have these issues.
Jay.
But they helped him, and Patrick Mahomes delivered.
Key, Jay, big talk after the game was OT rules. Now, Mahomes suffered from those rules in his first AFC championship
4 years
game.
Ago.
4 years ago. Brady throws an interception. Game over. Oh, pre-snap penalty. Here's the ball, Brady. They tie the game. Overtime. They win the coin flip. Brady gets the ball. Mahomes never touches it. He would have been in the Super Bowl, Mahomes, that year. But that's not how it went down. And last night, Mahomes wins the coin flip. He gets the ball. Josh Allen never touches it.
That'd have been three straight Super Bowls, huh?
He'd have been in three straight.
Yep.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd have been in three straight. He'd be working on four straight to start his career. Oh. So everyone's on the OT rules. And, guys, I got to tell you something. It's not that they're not dramatic. It always felt to me like they're unfair. Like, keep playing the game. Have a set amount of time and see what the score is at the end. Why is it sudden death? Isn't that unfair?
No, it's not. Because we flip the coin. We receive. We get it. It's up to your defense to stop our quarterback. If we flip it, it's up to our defense to stop your quarterback. Don't give me this, oh, they should do the college thing. If we were doing the college thing, we'd still be up watching the game right
now. Thank God.
So there's no other way to do it other than this way. You get an opportunity. If you hold them and they got the ball and you hold them, Jay, they kick a field goal. Now I got a chance. Josh Allen gets the ball to go down and win
just
it with
a
touchdown.
Yeah.
I love sudden death, man. It just – there's something about – it's like when you're in Vegas, like when you go all in, like you're all in. Like this is when it needs to happen. And that's what sudden death is for me when you think about the NFL and their overtime rule. So I don't want this whole thing where, you know, everybody gets a trophy. You don't get a participation award here. Like this is for can you capitalize in the moment offensively and can you capitalize and stop me defensively? And if you can't, it's game over.
I love
that. It's just the way it is.
Everybody gets a trophy, even little Johnny.
Yeah,
man,
trophy,
participation
it's a big boy, trophy.
Big boy league, man. And by the way, can I say, Key, just the throw he had to Travis Kelce, just over that, man, that right shoulder. Like, first off, I'm like.
What do you mean, touchdown?
Yeah, the touchdown pass. First off, I'm like, okay, Patrick Mahomes led this team in rushing 69 yards. I'm like, damn, he was faster than what I thought. You see that little play last night where he's like, dude, just popped out. I was like, okay. But then on top of that, just the accuracy of the passing in those moments, man. It's next level.
Yeah, he put first of all, they play together. They practice together.
Of course.
They know each other's body language. He understands that Travis Kelce is a big guy, so he puts the ball up and out where only his guy can catch it. The defender was in solid position, but because of Kelce's body and his type and who he is, there was nothing you could do
about
that.
But even look at the catch. The ball's over the right shoulder. He does a full 360. Right, like he actually thinks the ball's coming over to the ball's coming over to the left shoulder, and then he turns his whole body.
Mahomes to Kelce is like Brady to Gronk in their primes. It's like there was nothing you can do.
Well, see, the quarterback realizes in that moment right there, the defender's trailing Kelce. So now, instead of throwing the corner route, which initially the corner route would take him to the back pylon, so he would be looking over their shoulder. But Patrick Mahomes knows that the defender's trailing him. So now at the time, he just back shouldered him and he could make the turn. Bam, he's athletic enough to do that.
What did a former Packer hear when Aaron Rodgers spoke after Saturday's loss to the 49ers? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Because when you look at the record, since Mike McCarthy has left there, they have not won an advance beyond championship game. Because it seemed like everybody was ready to bury that dude and the star quarterback can't get out the way.
Hey.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. We are joined right now by former Packers running back Amon Green. Good morning, Amon.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's happening, Batman?
What's going on, brother?
Man, chilling. Just still in shock a little bit.
Really?
You I just are? Put it out there a little bit. Just a tad. Just from the standpoint of the way points were scored or not scored up until this game for the Packers offense, it was almost like it was easy previous games. And then this game, it just Shanahan and his defense, they just was able to slow them down and actually slow them down to where they could get the, you know, defense got the ball back. As we watched at the end, Robbie Gould kicked the game winning field goal. It just was like, for me, I'm still saying, wow. I'm being real.
How much of that was the 49ers defense as opposed to it just feeling like Aaron Rodgers was not on his game?
It's a mixture of all that. It's a team game. Aaron being off, special teams being off, defense doing his job for the most part, keeping the team to 13 points. That's doing really good in NFL. So the special teams and offense being off, that's where we saw this. That's why this game went the way it went. It seemed like the offense didn't get in the flow as it usually did in the regular season, because it would be a Devontae, it'd be an Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon getting the ball rolling, establishing the run, and then Devontae and then the other receivers. And I say a big key item here is that Aaron didn't hit a whole lot of receivers. He only hit 4 out of 8 when usually he hits 8 or 9 in a game, because obviously it keeps the defense honest. So seeing that he only had 4 targeted receivers, that was the majority of the pass game. That's a big fact. That's just a nice little detail right there, because good quarterbacks have that variety of receivers that they hit. They hit 6 to 9 in a game to keep, like I said, keep the defense honest.
Batman, when you look at everything that went on in the offseason with Aaron Rodgers in the summer, and then just everything, all the vaccination, just all the stuff that he has dealt with, it had to deal with, some inflicting clearly. Do you think that the layoff and the pressure to perform in the playoffs and get the Packers back to the Super Bowl was immense pressure that contributed to the way he performed this weekend?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't think so, because he's a pro. He's a guy been in the league a long time. So to have pressure like that from something that was 6, 7, 8 months ago, you know, basically a start of last year, like to now, I don't think so. It's in the moment. You got to play now, and I believe his moment was now, and somehow the focus, the way the game started for him, threw him off for the rest of the game. The way the 49ers came in and played, like they've been playing Royal Warriors since last week against Dallas, they've done that. And so when they came in like that, said, hey, you know what, we're here for a game, we're going to play for 4 quarters, I think that's what rattled maybe a little bit of Aaron in the offense.
How do you think things will play out this offseason? Like, what's going to happen now?
I say get your popcorn ready. We had entertainment last offseason, and it may happen again. I don't know. I mean, I've had friends already text me, you think Aaron's going to stay? I'm like, until he gets in another in front of another mic and says what he's going to do, or Matt LaFleur and him talk, or Goody and him talk, you know, then that's when we'll know. But who's to tell, you know, what is going to happen? Because obviously this is a game that, obviously, for myself being 13 years removed, watching it as a player, like I said, wow, I'm still saying wow. I'm just trying to process the offense not doing a whole lot, defense doing what it did, and obviously special teams being a big factor of that in the loss. So I think they're going to take the time before you make any decisions, even Aaron, to understand that if you try to make a decision now, it's more emotional than actual being clear-minded and having a business sense to what has to go on in the offseason.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking to Amon Green, former Packer running back, great. Why, like, Aaron Rodgers has been to one Super Bowl, Amon. As incredible a player as he is, he's been to one Super Bowl in his career, and it was set up for him this year. Home field, the bye, the whole thing. Excellent team around him, both sides of the ball. Just lost to Tom Brady with a new coach who took the ball out of his hands. That's not going to happen again. He's on a mission, legacy, the whole thing. How does that happen that he's only going in his Green Bay career to one Super Bowl?
It happens because just the way things went down over his career, you know, between when he was being coached and led by Mike McCarthy, then towards the end, the disagreements or the they were just going different ways in their mindsets of how a team should be built or how a team should be run or play calling. You know, when you have that with the player and that player is your top player and you're the coach or you're the GM where you're just basically y'all boats in the night crossing each other and not really talking and not really communicating properly, then you have those instances. You know, you have those miscommunication where it leads to things down the line. You know, finding out after the fact that you lose your best, one of your best receivers at the time, Jordy Nelson, you find out before everybody else does. You know, that kind of rubs you the wrong way and brings you in emotionally, and maybe you don't, you know, talk to the GM or talk to the head coach about it. And it festers and it doesn't really come to where it's acknowledged among each other. And then where y'all can both move on from that and then try to build better. And so it's really conversations that didn't happen, that should have happened, plays that happened that shouldn't have happened or should have happened. You know, there's a lot of going on back then. And then right now, it's just you got to be in the moment, you know, for them to think about what they need to do next. In terms of the team, in terms of, you know, personally as Aaron and the team that has to, you know, get ready for this offseason, you know, starting looking at draft prospects and things of that nature. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be an interesting role. We don't know what that answer is going to be, but it's going to be something where a player has to really sit down consciously and think about what he needs to do for himself and his family for the future. And then obviously the team and the organization and if they will have any conversation in those two, you know, and those two conversations meet basically.
Thank you, Amon. Appreciate it. Wow, guys. Thank you. Appreciate you jumping on with us morning.
Hey, no problem, guys. Appreciate you as well. Thank you.
All right, man.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like, you know, you see Mahomes, the situation he's in, that's a great situation. Brady was kind of born into a great situation in the NFL. Rodgers has been in a good one. Not as good as those guys, but it's been pretty good. One Super Bowl appearance, which he won. The impact the Chiefs win will have on the rest of the league. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM.
Doesn't look warm out there, I'll tell you that.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.